Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy New Year!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Woo! Happy New Year! Would you kindly bless us as you have done in years past by sending wretched stuff, sermon stories, articles, anything wretched, idea@wretched.org. And if you've got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, and I suspect you might, would you kindly text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Michael. Todd, I've been confused on an issue recently. I know I'm saved by faith and not by my merit, but how do I try and do good works without being pharisaical?
Yeah, well, to be a Pharisee would mean that you've changed your theology and you believe that your works are earning you merit. So I suspect you don't mean that. Maybe that I don't confuse that my works are in any way contributing to God's favor on me. There's nothing you can do to increase God's favor. Nothing. And that is what will keep you from being pharisaical. You cannot do things that somehow elevate your status from a C-class Christian to a B or an A-class Christian. You're an A-class Christian. Everybody is. So don't think for a second that your works somehow make you more pleasing to God. To be clear, you can grieve God when you sin, and we can do things that please Him, but there's nothing that your works can do to contribute to your status with God. And let that thought then keep you humble. I think I was reading Ray Comfort. Oh, I wish I had that with me. Ray Comfort wrote a book about 50 years of open air preaching, what he has learned. And he said one of the things that he does is to not meditate in a kind of way, but to keep him motivated to do the irksome work of evangelism and open-air preaching. He focuses on the majesty and the greatness of God. It humbles him and it motivates him to do hard things, which evangelism and open-air preaching are hard things. Beneficial, huge blessings to so many, but it is a hard thing. So we talked about studying a finch. Apparently he and Sue, they've got some gold finches, and he was just studying them and just studying the bird and the legs and how they're made, and then the little talons and the wings and the feathers and how did all of this happen where the eye blinks and it's lubricated and all of these things, they came together. It's like, God is huge. And it develops a fear of God. It also shrinks us. It makes God big and it makes humans small because we are and He is. So consider the attributes of God, how big He is, how awesome He is, how holy He is. And you'll remember how much you're not. And then you're going to realize that our works, as much as we want them to be glorious for the Lord, they're not all that spectacular by comparison to the things that He does. And that should help you stave off any Pharisaism. And then send stuff, 877-282-2337.
All right.
Okay? Do you need some oxygen in there?
Well, I've been debating this question.
That was a gulp.
I've been debating this question. This is from Eunoia. That's her name, Eunoia. Todd, how should we think about or go about reading the Song of Solomon? How do we use it and know what it all means?
Yeah, why would you hesitate on that question?
Well, it's one that has, I don't know,
implications because of the content,
right?
The subject matter. Well, I can tell you this. IHOP has got it completely wrong. The International House of Prayer, which I hope is soon defunct after last year's fiasco, they would teach you that the Song of Solomon is about our relationship with God, including the romantic bits. It's not. First and foremost, it is a story about a man and his wife, how a man and a woman can enjoy one another in intimacy, which is something, Mom and Dad, you might need a little nudge on this, that you teach your kids, be careful that you don't always have conversations about intimacy in the context of icky. It's dirty. Don't you dare. Don't you look at that. How dare you? And okay, you want to help them walk through temptations, but be careful that you don't make sin the key component of sex, that it's just always got to be sinful, because it doesn't have to be. And the Song of Solomon tells us that it is something that should be looked forward to, not fantasized about, but looked forward to, and that should be done with joy, because it is a great gift from God. That's what Song of Solomon is about. Simultaneously, it is also about a picture of Jesus Christ and the church without the romantic parts. You say, how do you make that leap? Because in Luke 24, Jesus said that he taught the two disciples on the road to Emmaus about himself in every book in the Bible. That includes the Song of Solomon. And it is a picture of a man and a woman. Ephesians 5 would tell us this is the one who's playing the role of Jesus. She's playing the role of the church. Oh, how they love one another. So it's, in other words, it's a picture of Jesus Christ and his church. And it is an implication that intimate act between a man and a woman, that is nothing but a shadow of a more glorious reality. No, we will not be physically intimate with our Savior, but the intimacy that we will have with him will be better than the physical intimacy we have with our spouses. And that's as far as it goes. IHOP turns it into creepy, and it makes Jesus sound like the boyfriend. And this isn't cliche, like, oh, contemporary worship song. No, it's like, ugh. And we don't want to go that far, because that was not its intention. So read the book and let it encourage you about intimacy, and let it give you a greater longing for being with the bride of Christ. It's going to be amazing. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, this is from Jessica. Todd, my husband and I have been going to a sound Bible-believing church for the past few months. They are offering membership classes in this month. We want to become members, but we're planning on moving out of state next spring. We want to become members since we're believers and want to serve the local church, but we also want to participate in the Lord's Supper. What should we do since we're moving?
Talk to your pastor. See what he says. I don't think it would be a wasted effort to join the church, because it's a reminder we need the church. It is your safe place. You are in danger without the church. So don't go, whatever it is, next spring, this spring, whenever it is, you're without protective cover, because you could wander off the reservation and ain't nobody going to come find you, because they don't have the authority if you're not a member of a local church. So become one and talk to your pastor about it. And I suspect that he would be quite excited to have you be a member, even if it is for a short term, because then he can also tend to your soul as you leave. You go to your new location, and the church, if you're going to another good church, is going to be contacting your old church to say, everything cool? Are they in good standing? Are they under church discipline? And then membership can simply be transferred unless the new church has some sort of process for it. But it is all about your safety. So I say, if you can, don't go a day without being a member of a local church. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I think that you hit the nail on the head.
It's important.
Yeah.
You're just a sitting duck. So am I, by the way. We all are. That's the whole point. And that's one of, it might be one of the bigger ones, or if not the biggest blessing of a local church. It's that you're safe there. This is one reason that we believe church membership, while it is not stated explicitly in the Bible, you need to become a member of a local church. It's assumed and it's implied. Church discipline is nonsensical if there is not membership. You cannot be removed from what you do not belong. Idea at wretched.org. Christianwomen.org.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, how should Christians, especially Christian women, think about weight loss?
You can't ask me because I'm not a man. A woman. What did I just say? <He's not> a- Oh, boy. Those gummy chewies you gave me for my thinking have not lifted the fog one iota. Isn't that one of the most nonsensical arguments about abortion? You can't talk. Okay, if men cannot talk about abortion, then ladies, sorry, you can't be a football commentator. Uh-huh. How do you like them apples there? How should you think about weight loss? I would think of one word, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the tyranny of being a size 4. If you want to be a size 4, you knock yourself out. If you are a size 4, congratulations. But don't let the world tell you that somehow you are inferior if you're not. Those standards are arbitrary. We seek to be pleasing to our God. Should we keep our temples fit? Yeah, I think it's a good rule that you try your best to keep your body in a similar kind of state that it was in when you said, I do. But it doesn't... To pretend that our bodies aren't going to be affected with age and gravity is ridiculous. They are, and you should strive to take care of your temple, but please don't live under the tyranny of the world. That is how I think we should think about weight loss. But I'm not a... What am
I? You're not a man.
Right. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word from Jimmy Hicks.
Which one?
You.
Which word, though?
Oh, I see. Well, how many words are you getting? This is Wretched Radio. What you were just telling me, you wanted the tens and tens of people to know.
Yes. So the Beep Talk text line, that you can text your questions in, but I can't answer you back. It's a one-way text line. So you send us your questions, but we can't communicate back and forth via text.
And you're so thoughtful, you don't want anybody to think you're rude.
Right.
It's pride, Jimmy. It's pride. You've got a fear of man and it's pride.
That's it.
See, I've been reading too many biblical counseling books. Please don't. But same thing with emails. I don't think we miss emails. It's just getting back to everybody just gets it. It would be like a full-time gig. And as much as we love that, we recognize our limitations as a ministry. And that is a very good thing, by the way. A ministry that thinks it's the end-all, be-all. Look out! We serve the local church. So if you ever feel like it would be so great to interact with somebody, we would point you to your local church. That's the place. That's the place for long-term healing, the long-term growth that you desire. It's in the context of your local church. And if you think, by the way, that it would be maybe damaging to your relationship with your pastor because he knows you and we're just doing texting, so it's a little bit anonymous, I can assure you there is nothing that you have done, nothing that you are thinking that is going to shock a pastor. Not a guy who's been a pastor for more than 3, maybe 4 minutes. You're just not going to cause them to go, whoa, what is that? They understand sin because they're sinners too. And they know their own hearts and they've heard about other people's hearts. So you can unburden yourself with them and let them help you in the long term. We'll do everything that we can on our end to assist. We'll do everything to provide resources. We will do everything that we can to bring as many good people to you as possible. And we obviously believe that that is fruitful, but we ain't nowhere near as good as your local church. And I'm going to toss this one in for free. Hopefully it's not to toot our own horn, but if you're dealing with a parachurch ministry that does not share that attitude, probably not a good parachurch ministry. If they ain't about the local church, if they don't bow to the local church, if they don't do everything they can to seek to help the local church, let's just say you're rolling the dice at best. So please keep on texting and we'll do our best to respond here at Wretched Radio. It's 877-282-2337. Jimmy, was that kind of like a compliment to ourselves? If those ministries don't have our standards, then they're not very... I didn't intend it for that, but I'm earnest in that.
I didn't take it that way.
I'm earnest. Not like, you know, the character that's kind of a goofball. I mean it. The local church, it is so everything for your life. It really is everything for you. We're ancillary. We're support. We're help. We're an encouragement. We want to provide stuff for churches. And we want to support churches so that the sheep always have a really safe and wonderful place to go because that is God's ordained means for your hyper growth, the local church.
So if you're earnest, does that make me Vern?
I never watched those movies.
Did you not?
No, I didn't. Hilarious. They were a little Southern for me.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why I
relate.
You know,
I don't know if I've told the South lately, but I love you. I really love living here. I was getting out of the car. It was December. I think it was right before Christmas. And it was like 65 degrees. Oh, that's nice. Because I'm telling you, the cold, man, Scylla, when we are back in Minnesota, it is like somebody is attacking us with 1,000 daggers. Just stop the cold. It hurts. It just plain herds. I don't know what that phenomenon is. Yes, I do. It's called getting older. Alrighty then. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Isaiah. He texted in, Todd, do you use the same confrontation with people when you aren't filming or recording as you do when you are?
Confrontation.
All right.
Could we maybe choose a different word? I know what you mean, though. How do you engage with somebody?
Right. He says, my biggest problems are striking up conversations with people at random. Sometimes I think it would be a lot easier if I could interview them on the radio.
You know, I think that I'd be willing to debate you that it's perhaps easier to do it without a microphone and a camera crew. People can be like, whoa, not interested. I don't want to talk to you. A lot of people these days are scared that they might say something that could be recorded, put up on YouTube, and then they'll never get hired. So it doesn't make it a breeze if you've got recording equipment and TV cameras and that stuff. Some people might be attracted to that, but a lot of people are repelled. Furthermore, I don't see talking to somebody. Now, like when we go out to campus, we're on a mission. And we know that, and we've got limited time, and that's the intended purpose. But that's just not how I feel when I walk around or go out to shop. I'm aware of any opportunities, but all I wanted to do, and this is okay, this is going to sound worse than when I was being earnest about other ministries. I just want to love people. That's it. Just be nice to folks, chat with them. Show interest in their lives. That's what I do when I go out of the house. And I don't even think about it. It's just the way I feel. And with that, I can't tell you how many times I can witness to somebody because it just leads to that. Or it just you can just direct it, just nudge it just a little bit and you're there. And I would encourage you to, this will maybe sound weird, but don't see people as an evangelistic mark. Just see them as somebody. Okay, so I grabbed Ray's book, 50 Years of Open Air Preaching. It has a wonderful endorsement in the front by a Todd Fryall of TV Radio, because we want to learn from Ray. He's been doing this for 50 years. In fact, this will be an ode to Ray Comfort. Let me read the foreword that I wrote. Ray Comfort is on the Mount Rushmore of open air preachers. Well, there's not a lot to choose from, but nevertheless, he's right up there. No single individual has had more impact on open-air preaching and evangelism in the last century than Ray Comfort. That has been his contribution. Ray is, and he would hate this if he were hearing, he would hate this. On his 75th birthday, I sent him a nice text just to encourage him and let him know what a blessing that he has been in my life and how he has helped me so much in so many ways by modeling godliness. And he sends back a video of him witnessing to somebody in Santa Monica because he just deflect. But he is a giant. He has had a huge impact and it's been so good. Why wouldn't we want to learn from a modern day giant? His hard-earned wisdom will equip you with everything you need to know about sharing the gospel in the open air. When it comes to open-air preaching and evangelism, no one has more road miles than Ray Comfort. Glean from his wisdom, then hit the streets. But maybe you go out with like 20 tracks and you're like, I got to give away 20 tracks. Don't do that. Don't put that on yourself. It just forces it to become manipulative. You've got something amazing. Go give it away. And if it's just with one person, cool. Great big victory. All right. So let me just see here. I was really struck. All right, the first just shows pictures of Ray preaching back at doing open air Christ Church, huge crowds gathering. He preached over 3,000 times in the open air. And chapter 2, preparing your heart and mind. It's all about getting your heart ready, dealing with fear. So here we go. The fear we feel when it comes to sharing our faith is real, but irrational. If we were going to be burned at the stake for being a Christian, thrown to hungry lions, our fear would make sense, but it is nevertheless a real fear, and it can paralyze us if we listen to it. So how can we just ignore it? Imagine, you see a 4-year-old child fall into an icy swimming pool. sure, you would ignore any thought of the cold water and immediately dive in because you're thinking of something infinitely more important than your comfort. The life of a human being. That's the mentality you and I must have with evangelism. We need to forget about how our flesh feels and instead think about what awaits people if they die in their sins. How would you and I describe the character of a person who could stand at the edge of the pool and let the kid drown because the water was too cold? We need to apply that to evangelism. We got to remember the fate of the ungodly and then remember, I think even more than the fate of the ungodly, how much pressure would I have to put on you to have you go out and give away $1 million indiscriminately? Just pass, give it to whoever you want. Would you say, nah, you know, I'm not really good with people. I want you to give away $1 million. You know, I've seen people get upset with people sometimes when they approach them in public. I don't think that would happen at all. You'd be like, what? Cool. Bingo. We got something better than $1 million. That's how we should go. That's what should motivate us. The fear of the Lord? Yes. The fear of the fate of the ungodly? Yes. But the amazing privilege to share such wonderful news and see somebody's life and eternity changed, that will help you start a conversation that isn't confrontational. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. To Canada we go, where Justin Trudeau's Liberal empire is crumbling from within as Quebec's MPs join the growing chorus demanding his resignation. After his finance minister jumped ship rather than accept a demotion, even his home province's caucus is turning against him. Florida's new social media ban for children under 14 takes effect this week, requiring parental permission for teens and age verification for adult content. The law is targeting platforms with addictive features like infinite scrolling because giving children their attention spans back protects them in the short term and the long run. Well, the world's pandemic isn't making too many headlines. Abortion claimed 45 million lives globally in 2024, more than cancer, smoking, and traffic accidents combined. That's an entire Canada's worth of children erased in just 12 months. When a French TV channel reported the numbers, regulators fined them heftily, insisting abortion cannot be presented as a cause of death. Reality, apparently, is a little bit too uncomfortable for public consumption. And Colorado is embarking on a bold new veterans therapy program administering psychedelic mushrooms for PTSD. Critics are wondering if using traumatized veterans as guinea pigs for mind-altering drugs might not be the most ethical path to legalization. Also, anything psychedelic shouldn't be legal. But hey, that's how it started out with marijuana, and that turned out just fine, right? And to Michigan now we go, which under Governor Gretchen Whitmer's leadership has achieved the dubious distinction of being America's second worst state for population growth. The only bright spot, international migration, is masking the exodus of native residents. Apparently, when you combine anti-business policies with the nation's highest unemployment rate, people vote with their feet. And Minnesota's new unlimited abortion law has achieved its intended effect, a 16% surge in procedures to a 20-year high. Governor Walz helpfully removed reporting requirements for post-operative complications in infants who survived attempts to end their lives, ensuring the public won't be troubled by these inconvenient details. Well, Zondervan's new upside-down kingdom study Bible promises, quote, diversity to Scripture, including theological diversity, because apparently God wasn't clear enough the first time about worshiping other gods. Yeah, the publisher's transformation of Marx's talking points into evangelical-friendly language proves the mind virus knows no bounds. And new prison statistics reveal that 2/3 of male inmates identifying as women are serving time for sex offenses compared to 17% of the general male prison population. Yet some of these offenders still end up housed with female inmates through exceptional circumstances exemptions. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a new year, but there ain't nothing new under the sun. This is Wretched Radio. We still need wretched stuff. And you have it. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org or feel free to text whatever you want. Please note, Jimmy would love to respond, but the texter machine doesn't work that way. But we will do our best to answer questions, comments, conundrums, snarks here if you send it to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Andrew. Todd, my brother got his girlfriend pregnant. They have since married and have now shared the news that they are pregnant after the wedding. But being believers themselves, they've confessed they were in sin with the way the baby was conceived. My mother has asked that I chip in a family-wide gift of a 3D sonogram, but I feel this is celebrating only their sin and not actually gifting the only innocent soul in this situation.
No, this is, I'm giddy to tell you this. You're not celebrating sin because the sin has been repented of. What do we do with that sin? The same thing that God does. We put it at the deepest part of the ocean, east and west business. They've repented. They've confessed it. That is the best thing that can happen. Wow. I wish there were more of that public repentance in churches. We all see the baby bump. We all know what's going on here and they're not okay. And we don't know what to, bridal shower. Do I give them a gift? Am I happy or am I sad? When public repentance happens for a sin, then it's like, rock on, away we go. Let's have a baby. Let's celebrate. How much do you need for the 3D ultrasound? And give it with joy. You're not celebrating sin. It's been forgiven. This baby shouldn't have a mark on it because parents sinned before being intimate, before getting married. It was a sin. It was forgiven. And now you can celebrate. And long as the subject of ultrasounds and babies are brought up, just a shout out to Preborn Ministry, still doing the ultrasounds. Because 80% of the time, women choose life when they see their baby in the womb. If you want to be a pro-life advocate, this is something that you can actually do. Please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched.
And? Are you okay?
That's end stuff. To idea at wretched.
This is from Michael. Ty, can you elaborate?
See, here's the, this is, Jimmy and I don't see each other. I mean, in a lot of ways, I mean that sentence. We don't, right now, I don't see Jimmy. So I don't know what he's doing in there. Were you napping?
I was not.
Did I just didn't give you your cue?
That's it.
Is that the deal?
That's
all righty then.
This is from Michael.
877-282-2337.
Ty, can you elaborate on leadership as a husband? How can I properly live my life without my wife feeling I'm forced to follow? And how should I respond to her wanting to lead and not follow?
It seems to me we men get tripped up when we think of the word leadership. I think we confine it to something pretty small, and that is making big decisions. Leadership is far bigger than that. In fact, it involves making big decisions as a leader, whether it's industry, business, school, home. It involves that, but there's far more to being a leader than just deciding how much we're going to spend on something this year. Being a leader is mostly spiritual. It's the one who's initiating the spiritual growth of the family. It's the one who is offering lovingly a direction for the family while insisting he gets input from his spouse, who is his best source of wisdom. And if you just said, oh, you don't know my wife, she's not very, but I'm telling you, she's your best source of wisdom. She's not the issue, you are. She's got something to say. You would do well to listen to her because she knows the inside game better than anybody else you're going to talk to. So a man, in leading his family, he's doing the things that advance the family spiritually, advance the family physically, meaning their care and their needs and their health and their shelter and provision. He's the one out front on those things. Now, as far as making the decisions go, I think this is true. If Mrs. Friel were in the studio right now, because we just talked about this the other day, I asked her, in the last 34 years, have I ever slapped down on the leader card? And the answer was no, because you don't have to. There, for those rare times when a decision just has to be made, even with those rare times, probably could be stalled if there is an agreement between husband and wife. I just don't remember ever saying, that's it, I'm putting my foot down. I'm the spiritual leader of this home. And I'm telling you, this is the way that it's going to be. That has never happened. Instead, it really is a partnership. And you lead by being in front on the other issues. Do you have the authority in those pinch situations to make the final verdict? Yeah. But most likely, if you're leading in other ways, you're not going to need to. You got anything else for that, Jimmy?
Nope. I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're the spiritual leader of your home and you're pouring into your wife and praying with your wife and spending time, you're not going to need to make those type of decisions like that.
They're just very, very rare. And a good rule is if you don't have agreement, you don't make the decision. Because it's probably a big thing. If it were something puny, you should be at the point, even when you say I do, that you just don't care whether you're going to go to Zaxby's or Chick-fil-A, even though you should go to Zaxby's. The point is you just don't care anymore. It's like, whatever, big deal. You don't insist on your own way. Hey, that's a Bible verse. Love, just whatever you want, dear. That's what you want. That's what I want. As long as it's not sin, let's do what you want to do. And if both parties are doing that, you got yourself a foundation for a pretty good marriage. On those occasions when it's something big, it's about moving. Your honey doesn't want to move, you probably shouldn't go. I know you've got your arguments for it. If she's against it, it is so big. It is so profound. Why would you want to make a decision that would make your wife unhappy? The answer is you shouldn't. So you just stall it. You wait. Even if that might mean giving up something that you want or that you might even think is better for the family. Now, if a family, for instance, in the moving scenario is in dire need, and if I don't get this job, we can't eat, we're in debt, we don't have a house, and I got to get a job. Yeah, you might say, honey, I am so sorry. I would love it if we could stay in this place. I have tried. I have looked for a job elsewhere. I have been working and working and working to find work, and I can't, and this is an opportunity in Paducah. Honey, we got to go. We're going to die. Okay. Then make that leadership decision. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Tim in Northern Ireland. Todd, my wife attends a church group intended for mothers and their babies. However, two homosexuals attend and bring their baby with them. They recently adopted another baby. I was wondering if it's better for the baby to be raised by these two men in a stable environment or be left in the foster care network where they might be passed around.
No, I look, the system, it's not great, but we can't do what God says we don't do. It's not better. You could say it's more stable. It is a wrong configuration. It's a sinful union that God doesn't even recognize, frankly. And it's not better for the child. I know the foster system, I get it, and the kids bouncing around. I see it, I know it. But we just simply cannot condone something that is sinful because we think, we perceive that it might be better for the kid. It can't be. It can't be. A child needs a man and a woman. And if that configuration is distorted, there's no way that the kid is going to be able to thrive rightly. Now, Jimmy, I am curious, however, this is a church group that's meeting?
Yeah, it is.
And there's two dudes who are adopting babies coming to the church group thing.
Right.
I think that I might want to look into what's going on there. If you're dealing with a church that permits that, might want to think about a different group of people to be meeting with, because zoinks, I don't know how they could overlook something like that. And as long as we brought up the subject of children in stable homes and not in the foster system, there is an article that I've been wanting to share for a bit. This is back to last November. What she learned about the orphanage was disturbing. This was in Christian Post. This church that was supporting orphanages overseas discovered, yikes, there's a lot of abuse going on. The money is not being used to help the children. Yay, this isn't the way that we want to steward God's good gifts to us to give away. So what did they do? They found family strengthening organizations, their ministries that are more proactive than reactive, taking care of an orphanage that's reactive because the break has already happened, bad things were going on. And so instead, they support family strengthening ministries to keep kids out of the orphanages. And that might even just be giving money to the family because they're, I don't know what the percentage is. A lot of the time that a kid ends up in an orphanage is because mom and dad can't afford to keep the child alive. So maybe just food for thought, rather than supporting international orphanages, what about supporting the ministries that keep kids from going into the orphanages? Because kids do best when there is a mom and a dad. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
Young man, you need to be learning the Bible. Yes, you got to learn your trade, and yes, you need to be learning what you're learning in school. But ultimately, we want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit FortisInstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent, but I might have a suggestion for you. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, You asked me a question about a question.
I did.
Why?
Because I wasn't sure if it would be fruitful to ask and answer.
What's the question?
About divorce and remarriage.
Yep. Got a long-standing rule. That would be a big negatory, Big Ben. The reason is not because I'm not interested in the subject, not that I wouldn't mind taking a deep dive exploration into Matthew 19, but I've learned that if you cannot, to answer a question about marriage, divorce, remarriage without details, it's unwise of me. It's just unwise. They're just too complex, all of these situations. And without knowing details, I would not serve you well. Furthermore, there might be people eavesdropping who might apply something quite deficient to their situation. I might mar them, ding them, scald them inadvertently, but nevertheless. Or they might apply something without knowing the entire treatment on the subject. So all that to say, no. But if you're interested, did preach through Matthew 19, you can find the recordings at alpharettabiblechurch.org, alpharettabiblechurch.org. It was just like 3-4 weeks ago. I think it was a very clever title. If you go to our sermons, it was, let me see if I can remember. There's a marriage and divorce. That's what I came up with, marriage and divorce. You can find that at alpharettabiblechurch.org. When you're done listening, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Jim. Todd, according to Scripture, who is authorized to select elders for a local church? I left a church that picked elders by popular vote of members and saw consequences.
Yeah, you probably would. I think that Timothy was to appoint elders. Now, just keeping so many different dynamics aside, whether or not a church has a pastor in place who can do that, it seems that there needs to be somebody in the body with some maturity who is an elder to appoint elders. I know there are complexities to that. And as far as like having the church vote on elders, that really depends on your congregational model. It's interesting because you've got elder rule would say, no, the congregation doesn't vote on these things. Elder led might involve the congregation because it rises to the level of something so important. An elder is somebody who is a shepherd. Now, they might not be a pastor like we think about, the guy in the pulpit on Sunday morning, but they nevertheless, it is an office and they are to be overseers of your soul. That means they can affect you. And personally, I would say, as an elder-led church, that would be one of those decisions I think the congregation should be involved in. And there's wisdom in that. There's the congregational model that would say, absolutely, the congregation votes on that, and they've got the authority to vote in and the authority to vote out. On an elder-led model, the elders might hear a contrary opinion from the congregation and would have the right to overrule that. Not sure why you'd want to, but they would have the authority. And of course, the elder rule, they simply, that opportunity would not be afforded to the congregation. So it really depends on your church model. And once you've got that sorted, whether or not you involve the congregation, it'll be driven by what your ecclesiology is. It's turned out to be one of my favorite subjects, interestingly enough. I just love reading about how different churches do stuff. And it's really... I'm somebody who just loves everything buttoned down, neat, tidy, simple, straightforward, black, white, the end. And I see with churches, it's just not tidy. And the brilliance of the Bible, again, in my estimation, is that it affords us the ability to have a church government that looks different than our next door neighbors or maybe even a sister church 100 miles away. And believe, even the reformers agreed to that. That there is flexibility in church government and seeing how different people do it is just fascinating to me because we might just learn something. It might be like, hey, you know what? We haven't been, that would be really a good thing to do. I was reading, this was quite a bit ago, was reading Tim Challey's, he's our Fortis fellow who deals with church issues. He was writing about going on vacation and visiting a church for, so you know, go to church on, if you're on vacation, that doesn't mean you just remove yourself from Lord's Day. You go meet with God's people wherever you happen to be. And his encouragement was, maybe don't find a church that looks exactly like yours because you might learn something. And you might see something and go, I'm so glad we do it this way. You might see and go, we really need to start thinking about doing it that way. We can learn from each other, and there shouldn't be division over this issue amongst the brethren. Church polity, ecclesiology, fascinating to me. Is it worth dividing over? Not a chance, as important as it is. 877-2. What?
What?
You just got that sound.
I was just going to correct you.
Fire away.
No, you don't even remember saying it, but you mentioned appointing elders from Timothy, and it was actually Titus.
Oh.
Just going to correct you.
Wait. Hold on a second here, mister. What?
Yeah, you said in 1 Timothy that it talks about appointing elders.
No, I believe Paul told Timothy to appoint elders.
Paul told Titus to appoint elders.
Are you sure he didn't tell Timothy too?
Maybe he did. Maybe we're both right.
Well, that's just like singing in harmony, isn't it? Hey, what's the Bible verse we're supposed to be? 2 Timothy 2:2?
That's right. 2 Timothy 2:2.
And what is that verse about, by the way?
It's about discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read that verse for us. You don't have that verse. You haven't memorized it yet, have you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, let's hear it.
So Paul tells Timothy to...
appoint godly men as elders.
Not appoint godly men as elders, but teach these things that I have taught you in the presence of many witnesses. Teach these to others who can teach others also.
Mm-hmm.
Teach these to faithful men who can teach others also.
There you have it right there. All right, so you're going to present whatever it is that you have in the canon. While I'm talking, you'll do what you normally do, and that is go into the internet and watch your social media and wait for me to finish blathering and see if Paul told both Titus and Timothy to appoint elders.
I will.
All righty then.
All right, this is from Corey. Todd, as you know, both Islam and Mormonism share stories about their founders coming into contact with angels that revealed things to them. I'm curious, are you more inclined to believe Muhammad and Joseph Smith actually spoke to demons posing as messengers of God? Or should doubt be rightfully cast on that part of their account as well?
Jimmy, you're not going to have time to Google Titus and Timothy, because I believe that is exactly with whom they were communing and receiving information. The devil. If you read how Muhammad describes his encounter and how Joseph Smith describes his encounter, there's some similarities going on there. Where else would they come up with ideas that were so aberrant? Certainly not from an actual angel, but an angel posing as an angel. An angel of darkness posing as an angel of light. Because those religions, they're dark, is what they're very, very dark. And I know Mormonism is making a yeoman's effort to try to become mainstream. They are absolutely not. It is a work-based system. It is a secretive society. The oaths, the control of families. In that sense, it's very controlling about making sure that if you leave, look out, your life is going to be wrecked. And so I'm rather committed to the belief that they were not talking certainly to a representative of God. It was demonic. You got it? Was it Titus and Timothy?
I'm not seeing it in Timothy just yet.
That was a very polite way of saying you got it wrong, Friel. Alrighty, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Matthew. Todd, I know that viewing pornography is wrong and sinful, but I go right back to it. Mm. If I'm living in habitual, unrepentant sexual sin, then it's clear that salvation has not taken place and that I have every right to examine myself. I want to be saved and produce godly sorrow. Am I beyond salvation?
I would love to talk to you. I hate to speak directly to you with something as important as this. My questions for you would be, and how do you feel about your porn habit? Do you love it? Do you hate it? And are you repulsed by what it is that you keep falling into? Or are you diving into that sin? Are you loving it? Do you really want to be freed from it? Or do you really want to just be able to keep on doing it and somehow sanctifying it? I'd like to know your heart. That's what you should examine. And you probably need the help of an older godly man who can put a bucket in that deep well known as your heart and figure out what's going on in there. Because I wouldn't want to say you say that you want to be, you know, be free of it. You say that you want to make sure that you're a Christian. Those are good signs. But if you're somebody who is habitually looking at something that sinful, I got to tell you, you do well to examine yourself to see if you're in the truth. The book that I've written on the subject, we might get it out this year. I don't know if we will or not. It's all about examining your heart to see if you are a true or false convert. It is worthy of that sort of introspection, but you probably need help doing it. If you're diving into sin, swimming in it, loving it, that's pretty safe. You're of the devil. If you're fighting against it, warring it, loathing it, seeing some increased victory, those would be very good signs. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.